Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Hayomi Maseches Chulin Daf Kuf Hei. We begin on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, the second line off the bottom of the Yomim. Back to the sugya of separation between eating meat and milk. Says the Braisa, Tanya, Beishami Oimer, Mekaneach. How does one prepare for eating meat after having eaten milk or cheese? Beishami Oimer, Mekaneach. He must wipe his mouth clean and cleanse it of any residue that may be left behind before he proceeds with his basar. Ubeisil Oimer Mediach. Beisil say, one must rinse with liquid to cleanse his mouth of any leftovers. Now, what do they mean, mekaneach and mediach? My mekaneach u my mediach. So when Ben Shammai say mekaneach and Beisil say mediach, what do they mean? You do this and not the other one? We turn to the next daf. Ilema, perhaps it means Beishami Aimrim Mekaneach. Beishama instruct us to wipe the mouth clean. But there's no need to rinse it with liquid. Hold just the opposite. Mediach, you meant to rinse with water, with liquid. Because that does a better job. There's no need to wipe it clean. So how do we learn the machlokes? Are they opposed to each other's method? Beis Shammai maintain that wiping clean is a more effective method, in which case rinsing is unnecessary. And Beis Hillel, just the opposite. Rinsing does a better job, and that's what you do without any need for mekaneach. If that's the case, so then, Elohod Amar Rabbi Zera. How do we explain what Rabbi Zera tells us when he gives us exact instructions how to do kinuach? He says, "Ein kinuach pe el bepas." The only correct way to do kinuach of one's mouth is by using bread, having a piece of bread after the cheese, which properly absorbs and wipes away any residue. So you need kinuach according to Rabbi Zera, which is actually only Beis Shammai's opinion. Come on, whose opinion is he following? Beis Shammai? Which is unlikely, because that's not how we paskel the halacha. We always go with Beis Hillel. So we must relearn the machlekes. What they meant is like this. Not Beis Shammai saying mekaneach and not mediach and Beis Hillel just the opposite. Elo, rather it's like this. Beis Shammai Oimrim. Beis Shammai saying mekaneach but loy mediach. Wiping is meant to be done. There's no need to do mediach. Beis Hillel require both methods of cleansing. First, some sort of dry material that absorbs, that wipes away any remnant, and then comes the rinse, which does a proper clean. Says the Gemara, okay, but now, in effect, Beis Hillel is more strict than Beis Shammai, which is unusual. And if it would be so, would not this discussion also be listed amongst those exceptional cases where Beis Hillel are machmer havalei? In this case, it's going to end up being mikulei Beis Shammai umeichimre Beis Hillel. One of those things that Beis Shammai are make a more lenient. Umechumra Beis Hillel are strict. V'lisnaye gavikulei Beis Shammai v'chum Beis Hillel. It should be listed amongst those exceptional cases, which are printed out in Maseches Idyos, and it's not there. So evidently our understanding of this machlekes is incorrect. Ella, rather, here comes the final explanation. Beis Shammai omrim mekaneach u'adin u'mediach. Truly, both agree to each other as well. Beis Shammai say, wipe and rinse as well. Beis Hillel omrim mediach u'adin u'mekaneach. Beis Hillel likewise, even though they cited mediach, but of course you also have to wipe it clean. There really is no machlekes. Each one is just, holding the string at the other side. Mar amar chada Umar machad v'lepligi, each one is merely presenting one of the two steps that are required to cleanse one's mouth between cheese and meat. V'lepligi, there really is no machlekes in substance. Gufa, okay, let's go back and review this halacha. Amar Rabbi Zeira, en kinuach hapeh el bepas. To properly clean one's mouth, you must have a piece of bread in between. And even that requires more specificity. V'hani bu b'chiti. It only works if it's made of wheat flour, which is chewy, which is absorbent. Aval b'desari loy, but if it's made of barley flour, that doesn't work. That sort of crumbles and doesn't really do a proper absorption job. Aval b'desari loy. U'dechiti namali amaron. Even if it's wheat, it only works ela b'krira, if it's cool, as opposed to hot and warm. Abu Muhammad, if it's warm, if it's hot, Mishta Shatri, it softens up, it disintegrates, it gets stuck in the mouth, it doesn't really do a proper cleanup job. And once again, it's only going to work if it's fresh, soft bread, Abu Bakush, but if it's hardened, you know, dried bread, loy, it's going to just crumble up and just disperse and not really be very effective in cleaning up. But the Gemara concludes, we don't have to be so particular. Any material, any food material is considered kinuach, except for extreme materials which really don't work. Kimcha, except for flour, which is really powdery and just, you know, tamri or dates, viyarka or vegetables, which are too soft and flimsy and don't really, you know, do a proper wiping job. So Rav Asi asked Rav Yechanan, "Kam yishav ben basar l'gvina?" So until now we spoke about ensuring that there's no real residue. You have to clean up between one and the other, whether it's meat to milk or vice versa. But is there any, you know, specific time lapse, a half second time that's required? So he says, "No, amar leiv leiklum. There's no need to wait." Says the Gemara, "Really? Any, is that so?" Amar of Chizda, tells us, "Ochal basar." After one ate basar, asur lechol gvina. One cannot have milk, cheese, gvina. But after cheese, muta lechol basar. You can eat basar immediately. By the way, they bring from the Zoyar. Hagoyis Hagruan Shulchan Aruch. He brings from the Zoyar. Even though halachically you can have meat right after milk, but not in the same sitting. Not, you know, like not in the same. Suda, he calls it. You have to make a bracha achroina first, and you know, and then have the meat. And again, provided that there's no, you know, leftover residue, he's perfectly clean, his mouth, his hands, right? So that's regarding gvina to basar. But if one ate basar, you can't have gvina right away. There's some sort of time, you know, lapse in between. You have to make a hefsek. We'll get to that soon. And here we say, a minute ago we say, there's no problem. You can eat right away between basar and gvina. Ella. Rather, his question did not pertain to meat and then milk. Elo kama yesha ben gvina lebasar. His question was between milk and meat. How long do you have to wait? Amalei, he says, well, there's no need to wait. Gufa, let's go back and review this again. Amar Chizda, ochal basar, asur lechol gvina. After meat, one cannot sit down immediately and have cheese. But after gvina, yeah, mutar, he's allowed to lechal to eat basar. Amuli Rav Acha Bareis of Rav Chizda. Basar shebein hashinayim mao. What if he discovers some fibers of meat trapped between the teeth? Can he still have his cheese right then and there? Or does he have to clean up his teeth? Remove those trapped fibers before eating his cheese. So he says, of course, currently applied to him a pasuk. Habasar dena ben shenayim. This is a pasuk. I'm a midbar speaking about the birds that they ate, and the basar was still between their teeth, and then they were struck by Hashem. So clearly the pasuk relates to basar trapped in the teeth as basar. Habasar dena ben shenayim. So it's still considered basar. And it has to be removed before having your cheese. Amar Mar Ukva. Says Mar Ukva. Again, back to this question of the wait time between meat and milk. Ana, I, Laha Milsa, regarding this matter, I'm not as strict as my father was. He was a great man, a righteous man. I'm chala, use a metaphor. I'm like vinegar produced by wine. Bar chamra, produced by wine. So I'm like a drop down, a downgrade. Vinegar, the son of wine. Legabi, I'm a relative to my father, who was even more meticulous than I was regarding this separation of milk and meat. Look, dilu abba, because my father, when he had his meat now at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he would wait a full 24 hours till tomorrow 2 o'clock. He wouldn't have his cheese ad lamach until tomorrow at this time, ad hashta. We go, no, but I am not so strict on this. I wait, but not that long. Not until tomorrow. I wait, you know, till the next meal time. We go, no. However, I, b'hosu dosu, in the same meal that I had my milchiks, I wouldn't have my fleishiks. But usadasa achrita, but in the next meal, achilna, I'll have my fleishiks. Now, this is a lot of explanations on this Gemara, which teaches that one has to wait until the next meal to have his milk. Taisa says, it doesn't mean, you know, waiting from morning to night. It means la'alter, even immediately. You wrap up the one meal, you can start the next meal. You know, he says, silko shulchan, they remove the table, that's what they used to do, and they, you know, you bench, and you bracha achrayin, and then you can have your next meal. However, others learn differently. They learn that the Rambam says 6 hours, and it's based on this Gemara, because he learns that the time gap between one meal and the other is between the morning meal and the evening meal. So it's a 6 hour gap, which is required between the meat and the milk. And actually, first of all, we should just know why. Why is it that when it comes to meat and then milk, it's more strict than milk to meat? So Rashi says, because basar is mitzi shuman. There is, you know, fattiness, there's a residue that lingers behind from the meat, in which case you have to wait until that dissipates and cleanses to proceed with the milk. And of course, we should know all this is midrabana, midaraisa. As we explained yesterday, it's only also when you have a single dish comprised of meat and milk that was actually cooked together. But the Rabbana took it a step further, made that separation so that we don't come to actually eating them together. The question is, how far do you have to separate? So between milk and meat, just clean up and, you know, bend and make a bracha and have the... But between meat and milk, there's residue. The Rambam learns there's concern about basar ben ashinayim, right? There are fibers that get stuck between the teeth. You have to wait until that clears up. So the Chacham made a takana. Wait until the next meal. According to Tosis, immediately after. According to Rambam, the next meal time of two meals a day, which is 6 hours. Some learn within the 6 hours already, you know, considered enough of a separation. The Ramah, he brings that even 1 hour is enough. And then he says, "Bedakta kim, those are meticulous, do wait 6 hours." And, you know, many paiskim say that's the way any Yerush Shemayim should conduct himself. However, we do find many minhagim amongst many kehilas in Klal Yisrael, some wait just 1 hour. A fellow in the shir at night, Rabbi Weiss, he related that his in-laws from Holland, his wife grew up with the 1 hour wait. Like the first opinion in the Ramah, who says the minhag is to wait 1 hour. It's brought down that the Yidden from Germany, from Ashkenaz, they had a minhag to wait 3 hours, perhaps. They worked with a three-meal-a-day system, so 3 hours apart. In any case, to understand why Marukva's father actually waited a full 24 hours, some learned, because he in his perspective, it was just one main meal a day, and everything else was just, you know, sort of lighter meals, like a snack. More. So the main meal a day was once a day, so he waited until the next meal, as per the concept of waiting for the next meal. Okay, in any case, that's sort of an overview of the halachis of the harchaka between basar and chalav in a practical sense. Okay, continues the Gemara. Omar Shmuel. Okay, speaking about comparing oneself to one's father, says Shmuel, Ana laha milsa. I, regarding the following matter, chalav archamel gabi abba, is vinegar compared to wine regarding relative to my father. Why? Dilu Abba, because my father have a sire nichse treizim nebiyami. He would be sire. He would journey around his properties. He would take a survey, check out, you know, the maintenance situation twice a day to ensure nothing's broken. And you know, vana, but I just do it once a day. Leisayarna, I only take that survey lechadazim nebiyami once a day. Shmuel tamei, Shmuel advised to keep a close eye on one's property is consistent with his opinion, Dama Shmuel, as Shmuel tells us elsewhere. Manda, sire, nichse kol yayma, one who actually takes a walk, checks out his possessions once a day, mashkach istira, he'll find a coin, istira, a certain coin. Rashi says, it means to say, because he'll have the opportunity to notice cracks and, you know, deteriorating materials which need to be shored up before they require extensive repairs. Abaye have a sire nichse kol yayma v'yayma. In fact, Abaye go around every day to check out his properties. Yayma chad, so it happens that one day, bingo, poga barise, oh, he meets up with his worker, with his sharecropper, the dori who was lugging around, his chadufi, pas chadufi, a bundle of firewood. Hey, where are you going with that? You don't belong to him. Amar Leisi says to his worker, Hani Leicha, where you going? Where's this bundle headed for? Amar Leisi says, oh no, I'm coming to bring it to you, to the boss, Lebe Mar. Amar Leisi says, too late. Don't tell me no stories. Kvar Kodmuch Rabbanan, the Rabbanan are one step ahead of you. So a good thing that they have insight and by following their instructions and looking and keeping an eye, I just saved myself some firewood. Rav Asi have a sign nichse kol yayim. In fact, Rav Asi would do the same. He would walk around once a day, take a look. Omar, and after a while, he was a little bit disappointed. He says, where's the money? Where are the coins that Shmuel promised me? I didn't find any treasures. Omar, Eichaninu, where are they? All kolhani stiri, all the coins, so to speak. The Mar Shmuel of Shmuel, who promised that you save a lot of money by keeping an eye on your properties. Everything's good. Everything's. Yom Echad, so happens that one day, Chaza, he notices Tzinora, this water channel, the Batka Ba'ara, which is sort of burst through its pipe or whatever, and some sort of canal that was overflowing and flooding his property, and he came just in time before it flooded. Shakli Glimi grabbed his garment, Karchi rolled it up and plugged it in. Aisvi Bagoi put it into the hole and blocked the flood. Ramakala, he called out. Also, Inchi, people came running. Sachruan, they helped him plug up his hole and fix it up. Oh, now he said, I got my money's worth. For this one time, it was worth it. Omar, he says, Kashkechatinu, now I finally discovered the Kulu Isri, all those coins of the Mar Shmuel. I saved myself lots of money by being here just in time, nipping it in the bud. Amar Rav Idebar Rav Namar Rav Yitzhabar Asher. Okay, so now we'll proceed to the sugya of washing one's hand before meal, after meal, during the meal. Mayim Rishonim Mitzvah. So the hand washing prior to eating is a mitzvah. A mitzvah midrabanan. It was established to safeguard the tahara status of Truma, so on account of the Kehanim who must wash their hands prior to eating Truma to ensure that it stays Tahar, so that their hands are Tahar and the Truma is Tahar, the Chacham instituted a broad mitzvah that anybody approaching a meal of bread, I should explain why specifically bread, because Truma is primarily, I mean, Atayra, there's only Truma from Dagon, Tirosh, V'Yitzhar, so that's grapes, wine, olives, and grain. Now, typically you don't actually come into contact with the with liquids like wine or oil, so there's no requirement to wash your hands prior to. But bread, you come into contact with the bread directly, you handle it with your hands. So to safeguard the status of Truma, Chachamim required one to wash his hands prior to touching Truma, and Likewise, any bread, so we wash on account of truma as well. It's a mitzvah, a broad-based mitzvah, pre-washed prior to having a meal. However, the mayim achronim, post-meal, rinsing of the hands, to ensure their cleanliness, we're going to see later, it's actually to safeguard our safety, to cleanse ourselves of any possible contact with melach stoimus, a harmful variety of salt, which can cause chas v'shalom harm in one's eyes. So that post-meal wash, achroinim, is chayva, is obligatory. So it's not classified as a mitzvah. It's an obligation to safeguard our health. Mayim rishonim mitzvah, v'achroinim chayva. But the mayim rishonim, the pre-meal washing, is a mitzvah, which stands higher than a chayva. Maybe here comes a kasha from a brisa, which seems to put them on the same plane. Mayim rishonim v'achroinim chayva. Rishonim and achroinim are regarded as chayva, not as mitzvah. Emtsoim rishos. A mid-meal rinse between courses, that's voluntary, that's arbitrary. So why does this brisa call mayim rishonim merely chayva? It's really higher than that. It's a mitzvah to adhere to the takanas of the chachamim, right? The pasuk says, lo yasuru, minadava, lo yasuru, right? Don't stray from the words of your sages. Adopt their takanas, adhere to their practices, to their takanas, to their... So why are we calling it merely a chayva if it's really a mitzvah? Says the Gemara, it's just relative. Relatively speaking. So comparing it to the mayim hamtsoim, which is a rishus, so the flip side of rishus is chayva. This you don't need to do, this you do need to do. But really it's more than just you need to do it, it's actually a fulfillment of a mitzvah. Mitzvah, the pre-meal wash, which is a mitzvah, lagab rishus, when comparing it to the mid-meal wash, which is merely optional, so it's classified as a chayva. It's obligatory, karila, it calls a chayva, karila. But really, it's more than that. It's a mitzvah. Gufa, let's go back and review what we just learned. Mayim rishonim achronim chayva. The pre- and post-meal wash is obligatory. Emtsoim rishus. Mid-meal wash is merely optional. Any differences between the various washings? Rishonim, when one washes his hands prior to eating, noitlun bein bakli bein agav karka. You can wash into a basin or it's directly on the floor, no issue with that. Achroinim, however, the mayim achroinim and noitlun ela bakli, must be washed in a kli, Rashi brings, because otherwise it's washed directly on the ground, ruach ra, an evil spirit comes and latches onto it, so it has to be done in a kli. V'arila, some say, ein noitlun gabi karka. It's pretty much the same thing, just as saying it from the other side. Mayim achroinim should not be executed directly on the ground. So he said, do it in the kli, and he said, do not do it on the ground. It's pretty much the same thing. It might be not any halachic difference between the two ways of presenting it. It could be not, there's a slight difference. Kinsa. Maybe one washed directly on the ground. When there is kinsa, when there's some sort of spindle, some sort of, wood chips, okay? So he's pouring it on the wood chips, not directly on the ground. Okay, that depends. According to the first approach, you can only wash in a kli, right, to prevent the ruach ra from approaching. Well, this doesn't qualify. It's not a kli. But according to the second version, do not on the ground. This is not on the ground. It's on the kinsa. Another difference between the various washings, mayim rishonim, the pre-meal wash, noitlin bein mechamin, bein metzoinen, you can use hot water, cold water, no issue there. Achroinim, but mayim achroinim, which is meant to come and cleanse your hands, achroinim ein noitlin el betzoinen, you must use cool water, meshechamin, because otherwise if it's hot, mefafin, so you're dying, it just softens the skin and actually pushes in any residue, vein ma'virinus azuma, rather than removing it. It actually absorbs into the skin, so not recommended. Mayim rishonim noitlin ben mecham ben mitzoinen. Okay, so let's go back to that halacha. Mayim rishonim before a meal. You can use cold, you can use hot. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yanai. Hold it, not too hot. Leishono. Hot is only allowed Elisha in Hayad, we turn on the base, so he let us. Let us mean it doesn't jump back. Rashi says it doesn't get burned. His hand doesn't burn from it. So let us behen. But if it's that hot, al yad, so let us behen, then don't wash. Ain noitlin behen. Rashi explains you can't wash because it's butlu. Once it hits to that point, it's no longer regarded as regular water. It loses somewhat its water status. Interesting, perhaps because of the excitement of the molecules. It's almost like on the verge of becoming steam, and halachically, it's not considered like mayim regarding tilasidayim. According to this first version, mayim rishonim can be done with cold or hot, as long as it's not super hot. However, some apply this definition on the second part of the halacha that we learned, that it's going on the post-meal wash. Achroinim, the Mayim Achroinim, ain neitlun elabitsoinim. You can only use cold. Aval b'cham elab, but not hot. On this, Amar Vitzvar Yisav Amar B'yanai. Lo'yishonu elashay ayat ha'ledes b'hem. Heat is only a problem. It's super hot. Aval ain ayat ha'ledes b'hem, but it's not that hot. Neitlun, you can use it even for Mayim Achroinim, because it will cleanse it properly, it will do a good job. Oh, so what can you infer from this? The whole issue is limited to Mayim Achroinim. Machlal de Rishonim, apparently Mayim Rishonim is no issue at all. As hard as it is. Afal Pisha Yatz Lesben, it's okay, it's mutter. I think that's where the two Shittas and Shulchan Aruch come from, depending on the version in the Gemara. Right? Can you wash with hot or not? Can you wash Mayim Rishonim with hot or not? Depending on how you learn the Gemara, I think we meant to be machmer and avoid hot by Mayim Rishonim as well. Imtzayim Rishus. What about the mid-meal rinsing? That's optional, just for cleanliness. Amar Rav Nachman Leishonim. When do we say it's optional? Elabin Tavshel Tavshel. Between two dishes, both milchiks, both fleishiks, so then it's just a question of, preference. But if it's between tafshel, which is a fleishik, a dish, and cheese, then you have to make sure your hands are super clean, right? So you have to really wash your hands. Why do the Chacham obligate us to wash Mayim Achroinim? Shemelach Stoimis Yesh. There is a specific salt called Melach Sedoimis from Stoim, a certain type of Stoim salt, which is interestingly found everywhere. Shemelach Stoimis Yesh, Shemersame Yisaranayim, can blind one's eye, Chas V'Shalom. Amar Abayi Mashtakach, it is found Kikurta, like one drop, Bikur, in a full core. So, every sack, you'll have a little bit of. Interesting, it's not geographically connected. It seems like it's an element found in all salts. Amalei Rav Acha, Brei de Rava de Rav Ashi. What if he didn't eat? He's in the salt business, so he's touching and handling salt all the time. Kal means he measures. He measured milcha, measured salt. Mai, does he have to wash his hands afterwards? Amalei says, of course, let me buy it. It goes without saying. Interesting, Tesis in Amar Aleph says that... Although the Gemara depicts it as something which has to be done, it's choiva because of Melach Stoimis, he brings that about 10 lines into the Tesis, v'she'ein Melach Stoimis motzu b'neinu, since Melach Stoimis is not prevalent amongst us. Lo nagu Mayim Achroinim. They weren't like do Mayim Achroinim. So according to Tosfos, it depends on the practical, presence of this. Is it or not an issue? But interestingly, I think the Vilna Gaon, the Gaon Sagro, is very marked, but he says all the takanas that were established by the Chachamim way back in the day, even though it appears that it's based on this or that reason, he says all the takanas have revealed reasons, And they have hidden reasons that are connected to the mystical part of Torah, history of Torah. Even if you don't have, it's not, you know, perhaps the revealed reason is not applicable, but you still adhere to it because of the deeper meaning. And hence the custom amongst many to wash my mechroinim, despite the fact that Melech Stoimis is not really prevalent amongst us. Okay, continues the Gemara. Amar Abaye, Mireisha Avamina, says Abaye, back in the day I figured, why is it that we don't wash my mechroinim directly on the ground? Just a matter of cleanliness, you know. Right? We don't want to dirty the floor. Amarli Mar, and then Mar, my master, my Rebbe Rabba, taught me, is much more than that. There is a mystical side to it as well. Mishum Duk Sharya Ruach Ra'a Lai attracts Ruach Ra'a. Says Abaye further. Back in the day, I figured, why is it that we don't remove something off the table? Sarah is a table. Kinoket inish, when a fellow is sitting there and holding on to a glass, more drinking. Kinoket inish, kasala mishti. What's wrong with grabbing something off the table? You don't want to get him all agitated, and he might choke on his food. Shema yera dvar kalkala b'sudu. He might cause dvar kalkala, some sort of mishap. The person sitting there who might get all agitated that you're taking away his food. And that's what I figured. It's the practical thing. I'm really mad, but then my teacher taught me it's much more than that. There's a hidden side to it as well. Mishum de kashi l'rach tzreida can cause some sort of spirit, some sort of harmful spirit that can simon leva of some sort of evil spirit that, you know, can cause some mental inhibition, rach shtus. Okay. But let him learn. Now, this is only a concern. Elder Shaka lemehader. If he takes something off the table and doesn't return it. Aval mishka v'aduri, just grabs the, you know, the salt shaker for a second, puts it right back. V'aduri, that's the most, not a problem. V'aduri, it's only concerned l'chus l'abarames, takes it beyond the arba amis of the table. Aval teich arba'amis, if he's staying within, in vicinity, within four amis, less the most, there's no concern. V'aduri, it's only concerned l'midei tzarech, so does something which is needed for the meal. Aval, you know, a piece of food or some, you know, dish. Aval midi, but if he just grabs something off the table, which is not really part of the meal, midi l'tzarech l'sadasa. Once again, no harm is done. Less lumbo. Marbar Avashi was very careful. Kapidi was concerned. Afilu asita v'buchli, even the mortar and the pestle, the tavli of seasoning, which was on the table, because it's midi. The trichlus dasa was something which is needed for the preparation of the meal. And he wouldn't remove it off the table when there was anybody, you know, still holding a glass of drink. V'amar Abaye, Mreisha v'amina, says Abaye, back in the day I figured, I the country nashvero, the crumbs that fall off, you know, the table. The reason why we even sweep them up to keep the house clean. Shemana kirusa. I figured it's just a practical thing. Amar Limar, but then Mar told me it's more than that. Shemana kashi, chas v'shalom, can make one susceptible. So kashi is a lashon, it's a euphemism. It can be difficult, meaning it can bring about a difficult situation on the use of poverty, because the Rashi brings the Tsar, the Malach that's in charge of poverty. He's attracted to unclean environments, and so if you clean up properly, he has no access. Haugavra Dava Mahadala, in fact, it was his fellow, Dava Mahadar Lay, who was seeking him, Sora, the minister, Dana Yusa, poverty, the Malach of poverty, was seeking to access him, to affect him, to make him poor. And you couldn't get to him. Why? Because he was very clean. So sweep up after himself. Make sure nobody steps on his crumbs. The Kazor Anash Vara Tuva was very careful with his crumbs. Yemechat. So one day, Karich, Rifta. So he was sitting down to have his lunch. Rifta is bread ayavli on the grass. Oh, he's not going to sweep up the grass. Amar, so the Malach was keeping an eye on him. So, Hashta Vada, enough will be there. Now I'm going to get him. Now he's going to fall into me because he's not going to sweep up his crumbs on the grass. Look what happened. Basa did achil. After this fellow finished his meal, what did he do? He went to get a shovel to clean up. I see Mara, he grabbed a shovel. Akrin liyavli. So he dug up the grass with the crumbs inside. Shadin al-Nahar, he dumped them into the local river. Out of the way. Now the Malach was really exasperated. Shamei, so the fellow heard a voice. Dekamar, he heard the Malach saying, Vai, woe to me, the Apke. I was chased out. The Ugavra, this man, meaning himself, the Malach was referring to himself. I was chased out. I was ejected, basically, from this fellow's home, from his Parnasa. I couldn't interfere with it. Vamra Abaye, further says Abaye, Mereisha Avamina, back in the old days, I figured, Haidlo Shasi Ufi, why would a person not drink the bubbles that's formed on top of his, you know, drink? Shemi Susa, it's not polite, it's most. Amar Li, Mar, but then my master taught me it's much more than that. Ishin Nukashi, it can be difficult, it can bring about Chasashon Lakarsam. Rashi says, Ririn Hamboim and Achaitim, some sort of dripping from the nose, some sort of allergy condition. So, that's why it's avoided. Mishtei, drinking it, kashil karsam, can trigger this condition. Minpachbe, merely blowing it away, kashil reisha, can cause some sort of headache. Midchaye, just pushing it away, kashil anus, can bring about poverty, matakanti. So what's the solution? How to get rid of the bubbles? The shakishku, just press it down into the liquid until it dissipates. Now, let's say a person was struck by these conditions, the karsam, by this karsam condition that we spoke about, the chamra, which was triggered by the bubbles of the of wine that he drank. What's the antidote? Shichra, have a little beer. We'll undo that effect. The shichra, if you drank the bubbles of beer, the antidote to that is go down a level. Maya, drink some water. The maya, if he drank the bubbles of water, there's no going below water. Less like takanta. This fits with a common phrase. Basar anya, what follows a poor man? More poverty. Azlal niyusa. Poverty follows a poor man. It's an expression. That since to begin with, all he had is water, and that's what he got himself entangled with. So now he's really stuck, because there's nothing below that to fix it up. So the poverty triggered more poverty. Von Rabbi, Mresha Vamino. In the old days, I figured, Haidelo Achli Yarka, why would a person not grab a vegetable out of the bundle? Mikisha. From a bundle of vegetables, the asar, which was bundled ginoa by the gardener. What's wrong with that? Because it looks it's not polite. Mishum de mechzik rav zanusa, looks like he's super hungry. It's not polite. I figured it was just limited to that concern. Amali Mar, but then Mar told me, oh, there's a mystical side to it as well. Mishum de kashel kshafim, it could trigger kishuf. It could make a person susceptible to the effects of Kishuf, if he conducts himself in this manner. In fact, we have a story to back this up. Rav Chisda, V'rabi Barafuna, they were taking a trip on a boat. Havu Ka'azli Ba'arba, they were about to leave on a boat. Amr Luhu, who calls out to them, this noble woman, Ayimatronisa, please, you have a seat on the on your boat. Ayisam Ba'adayichu, seat me with you, meaning take me along, I would like to join. Of course, they were not really interested in her company. Lo Yasmua, they didn't invite her in. So they started moving, and then she expressed something, asrata. She tied it up, meaning she brought the boat to a standstill. Asrata la'arba. So she said some sort of sorcery, and it halted the ship. Amr in Emilsa, so they responded with their utterance. They knew the sequel. Amru in Emilsa, shariyah. They released the boat. They released their boat and they were freed. Amr Lu, so she turned to them, she said, oh, you're immune to the effects of my kisha. My eved lechu, what could I do to you? D'loy mekanech lechu b'chaspa. Because in your conduct, you avoid practices which would make you susceptible to the effects of my kisha. Number one, d'loy mekanech lechu, you don't clean yourself in the basic kisha b'chaspa with pottery. V'loy katel chukina. So you don't use the piece of pottery, you don't kill a kina on your amanaych, on your begadim, you never kill a louse on your garments. V'lo yachal l'chu yarka m'kishad asa kina, nor do you eat the vegetable straight out of the bundle, right? So these things are items which typically can make a person susceptible to kishav, and you're careful from these things. So you see from here that in fact there's something more than just the recherets. to avoid this practice. It's more than that. It also relates to the spiritual realm as well. Continues. He says, in the olden days, I figured, why would a person not eat a vegetable that fell on the ground, that fell off the table on the floor? Again, because it's not clean, it's not, you know. Then my master explained to me, once again, this too can trigger some sort of odor issue in one's mouth, so it can have some sort of negative spiritual effect, some sort of present a health concern. Continues Abaye, in the olden days I figured, why would a person not sit beneath an eave, like a downspout? Lest he be veil himself to the next flash of wastewater. Just a practical concern. And once again, Mar teaches me it's more than that. Because that's where the evil spirits are congregating, right there. So lest you, go into that territory. In fact, there was a story. Hanush Shakuloi, there were these porters who carried around, they were transporting this barrel of wine. No, it got a little heavy. So they wanted to, sit down a second to rest. And they were pinked over there under the downspout. So they put the barrel down, beneath Marziva, beneath the thing. Panka! It burst. Also, they made the Maravashi. So they came to the raft. Maravashi, they tell him what happened. Apik Shipuri. So he knew that it was, they knew it was because of the mazik. So he pulled out his shafers and he shamte, he blew, and he initiated a cherem. He excommunicated the mazik, the spiritual force that resided in that area that harmed their, damaged their thing. Asl Kameh. So, believe it or not, the mazik came to Mar Rav Ashi. Okay, he accepted the summons. He came to the Din Torah. Amar Leah, my Tavid Hachi. So Mar Rav Ashi turns to him and says, why do you break their barrel? Amar Leah says, what can I do? They squished me. Amar Leah, Echi Abed, what do you expect me to do? Ki Ois Vibu Noim, when they put it on my ear, I was sleeping there. Amar Leah, so Mar Rav Ashi tells him, what are you doing there to begin with? It's a populated area, you should be hiding out. I'm only at you beduchta in a place of shechi rabim, with the it's a public place. My boy is out. What are you doing there? My boy is atu deshanis. You deviated. You don't belong there. Zilshlim, pay up for the damage. I'm only says okay. Give me some time. Hashta, look, now that you obligated me, nami now too. Likbeli mar, please, my master. Give me a set of time. Zimna, give me some time. Efra. To pay up, coverly Zimna, so he gave him a time, 30 days. Kimota Zimna, when the time came, Yaakov. He wasn't showing up. Kiyasa, when he finally came, Amar Lei, so he says to him, why did you come so, what took so long? Amar Lei, Yasis Bizam, Bizim, Bizamanach, why did you come on time? The time that I set forth. Amar Lei, the reason why I didn't come then, is because it was hard for me to find, something to pay them back with. Amalei kalmili ditzai, any material which is ditzair, which is either tied up, a chasim, or stamped, a kail, or measured, umani, or counted, all these types of items are out of my realm. I have no access to these things. That's the way it is. We have no permission to access these items. So until I found something which was sitting in the open, until I was able to find something in the open which was accessible to me, it took me a while. Sorry for the delay, but now I'm paying it back. Continues Abaye further. Back in the day, I figured, why do people spill a little water off the top of the pitcher? Because there are some, splinters, some dirt, that accumulates on the top of the water. So it's just a cleanliness issue. I'm only mar, but then my rabbi taught me mishum deika mayim arayim. The reason why we spill it away because there is mayim arayim, water that the shadim drank from. So concerned, perhaps there was water of a shade. So that's why we spill it off. In fact, there was a story. Ahu bar shade, this shade, dava be bar papa, who Rashi says, was Mishamish Rav Papa? He served Rav Papa. Okay, Azala Suye, he went to get Maya, water, Minar, to get water from the river. They sent him out on a mission. And it took him too long. Yaakov. It took him a while to come back. He also, when he returned, I'm late. He said, what took so long? We're thirsty. I'm Yaakov. Why do you daddle? Why do you delay? Amr Lui just says, what do you mean? Ad chalfi maimaroim. I waited until the harmful waters passed by. My Rashi says, Shashasho mazikim mehem. You know, the shade had a good eye. He could tell what's going on. He says, I had to wait until that water passed. Adihachi. Okay, as this was, this conversation was being conducted, we turn to the next page. Chazinu dukashadu sadishay noticed that the members of the household had an interesting practice. They would spill a little water off the top of their glass. Chazinu dukashadu mayim ipum dechatsu, they would spill a little water off the top of the chatsu, means the barrel, right? Okay, so, you know, spill out a little water to get rid of this harmful, you know. Oh, so he says, had I realized that you had this practice, I wouldn't have had any concern. Amar, he says, Yadana. Had I only known the regalisulam of Hachad, you have this practice to spill off some of the water, I wouldn't have taken my time. I would have just brought you regular water, knowing that you you look after it yourself. Interesting that the Tosis asks, why did he have to take this long and wait so long? Just get the water, come home, then spill off the top. Why didn't Shay do that himself? So he says, because Shayyarish Yakpidu Olav Shara Shaydim. He was afraid that his fellow Shaydim wouldn't be very happy with him, Im Hayyamaydiya, if he would tell the humans about the secret. That's one terrorist that Tosfos brings, why he didn't volunteer to do it himself. So he kept it sort of under wraps. He waited and waited until that water passed. He drew the water. But then when he saw that the humans have discovered the secret, now we know Gemara, we know Abaye taught us, Abaye and his Rebbe knew all the secrets. So now, there's no worries. Okay, so in a nutshell, the first part spoke about hafsek between basar v'chalav. So the first, you know, baseline requirement is cleanliness, right? Make sure the mouth is clean, the hands are clean. And that works, of course, that's required both ways, meat to milk, milk to meat. In terms of an actual, you know, wait time between the two, so between milk and meat, there is no such requirement, but according to, but it is brought down that, you know, the minig is to wait a half an hour, some bring the zoyar, has a lashon shatacha, the 1 hour, some say shata means a full hour, okay. That's already for the big, machmirim. But according to the baseline halacha, there really is no, the Gemara, there's no mention of an hour, even a half hour, which is a minig, is not mentioned anymore, but it is a minig to wait. But in reverse, it is actually a requirement. There's a concept of the, Rashi says, a shuman, the basar has shuman, leaves over residue. The Rambam works with the concept of the basar stuck between the teeth. And that's why we give a significant time lapse between consuming milk, meat, and then going consuming milk. It has to be in a different suda, whether it's 1, 3, or 6 hours. Interestingly, regarding youngsters, ktanim, we like to apply everything, all our rules, all our standards to the ktanim as well on account of chinuch. But it is brought down, the Shevet HaLevi, Rav Ozner Tzal brings down that it's all a matter of age and it has to be age appropriate. Slowly but surely, given that hefsek, whether you start with an hour, then move it up to 3, then eventually to 6, but it's a gradual process. But certainly he's not required to start off his life with a 2-year-old with a 6-hour wait. For them, it's mamash chaya nefesh. He needs his milk, he needs his, right? Okay, that was one Indian. And then we discussed the advice of Shmuel to keep an eye on one's properties and keep it well maintained so that he preempts any unnecessary expenses. Spoke about Nitil Sadaim, Maim Rishoinim, Maim Emtsoim, Maim Achroinim, using hot water, the whole discussion. We had a whole long list of various conducts and phenomena which Abaye had sort of perceived in a very basic, simple manner, that it simply relates to cleanliness and practicalities, but he learned from his Rebbe, from Mar, from Rabba, that there's much more than that. There's it's connected to mysticism, to spiritual phenomena, whether it's a matter of keeping the house clean, sweeping away the crumbs and all kinds of matters which appear to be merely derecheres, but are conducive to protection, various illnesses, chas v'shalom, and evil spirits. No, we should have seat b'shmaya, always be protected, the Eibishter, brach v'atzlocha v'chol ma'aseh din, all the best to you, and atzlocha rabba.